You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. And we've reached the Thursday portion of our week. That means we've given you the weekly waiver wire talk there with Eric Edholm on Tuesdays. Hopefully you got some good players there. And then we broke down all the games for you on Matchup Focused on Wednesday, featuring Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus there for week 14. So you should have a comprehensive look at all that's going on in the transition from week 13. And we close the week today with our DFS Focus show, Lineup Focused, with Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus. So he'll be joining the show a little later as we look at the values there across the board: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and defense, whether you're playing FanDuel or DraftKings, and you're making some considerations for tournaments or cash games this week. We got you covered. Some players we're focusing in on based on pricing, some cheaper guys, some guys that we're willing to pay up for as well. So we'll have that good talk a little bit more extended this week as we have a fuller slate of games and a lot of question marks that we're looking at. Around that, we're going to look at the injuries. We'll start with the quarterback and running back injuries that we're looking at, and then we'll close the show after we talk to Tyler with a look at the wide receiver and tight end situation. You know, if there's any defensive situations that you could play in your favor this week. So let's start looking at the quarterbacks here. Joe Flacco, all the signs are pointing to Lamar Jackson starting again. That's what the beat reporters feel like. He's limited there with the hip. He could do a little bit more in practice this week, but Flacco looks like he'll at least also sit out this Chiefs game. So that obviously takes any value from the Ravens wide receivers. I think the only receiver there is that could be involved as much as you'd like is Mark Andrews, the tight end. We talked about him as a deep, deep sleeper. And Ty Montgomery maybe more out of the backfield after getting some good usage the past 2 weeks. But other than that, Flacco not starting really curbs all the Ravens there. Cam Newton, keep an eye on this one. He's going to play with this right shoulder injury. He's always limited early in the week. Then he goes full late in the week and plays. But there's definitely a bit of an aggravation that they admitted to in that Buccaneers game. So we'll keep an eye on this one closely there. Expect him to play pretty well against the Browns, but the Browns' defense can be pretty good at home. They can get some pressure on him. So if there's some more signs there, we might be a little wary for that New Orleans matchup coming in Monday night with New Orleans' defense starting to play really well as well. So something to watch ahead for week 15. Now, Mitchell Trubisky is on his way back here with the right shoulder. If there's any setbacks, you'd see Chase Daniel against the Rams, but Trubisky should play in there. So we've talked about him, but we're a bit mixed there on Trubisky. I think in a shallow league, I'm not reaching for Trubisky. In a medium-sized, deeper league, Trubisky is a better starting option than a lot that's out there. But I'm just going to temper the expectations overall here, him coming back and this Rams defense playing a little bit better of late. Matthew Stafford, the Rams defense, shut him down last week. He's been limited with a back injury. This is yet another reason where I'm not going to trust him on top of he's not playing well, and it's a tough matchup in Arizona this week against a team that's much better against the pass than it is against the run. We look at Deshaun Watson. He popped up here with a right shoulder injury as well. Got a little banged up there last week against Cleveland. He should be fine here. It's Indianapolis at home. We'll keep an eye on it. But, again, they're not giving him too much volume. They're trying to be very run-heavy, play with their defense, and that's protecting him a little bit. So, again, that's kind of limited his ceiling of late. Touchdown pass dependent there. But I think he'll be just fine if you need to use him this week. I like him at home against the Colts. Should be a nice game where he's going to have to put up the ball a little bit more. Ryan Tannehill, I never really like in any week. He could come through, but right shoulder, he's going to play against New England. I think what Ryan Tannehill does is he makes more of the receivers viable there, but that's about it for trusting Tannehill because you know which receivers are going to be viable. Now, you look at Tom Brady, still on the injury report of that knee issue. He should be fine there against the Dolphins. I'm going to recommend him to play. I know you're not going to expect that big, big game from him because they could run effectively, but I think he could be solid for you this week, even though the history against Miami, not always good. It's not the same Miami defense he's facing this time around. Sam Darnold looks like he's going to return with a foot injury. He's practicing in full again, so I think that actually makes me like the Bills' defense more because Josh McCown wasn't turning the ball over as much. I mean, he had an ugly game the first time against the Bills, but I see Darnold struggling here on the road. Buffalo elements, all that. So the Bills' defense smash play this week for sure. Now, Marcus Mariota, it seems like something different. He had the neck a couple weeks ago. We know he came back from the elbow. Now it's the right hand. Last week was the abdomen. So it's always something with Mariota, but he's played well through it. I just don't love him this week on Thursday night against Jacksonville. So avoiding that matchup totally. And we know Colt McCoy is down for the season, at least for the regular season. They're keeping hope alive. They'll play for the playoffs for the Redskins with Alex Smith out. But Mark Sanchez, who is going to start against the Giants, 2 years removed after getting his first playing time on Monday Night Football. And Christian McCaffrey, he missed a practice, but they're just being careful with him. He's a workhorse. He's gotten a lot of touches the past 2 weeks, been very active, so they're just resting him. He's been very durable, though, and that's been the underrated part of McCaffrey's season here. Now, you look at Joe Mixon. We'll have to keep an eye on this one. It's a foot injury. It's not the knee from early in the season, so limited in practice there. We'll have to see how it goes. If he's limited and still plays, you could see a little bit maybe more of Giovanni Bernard, but they need him because there's no A.J. Green. It's just pretty much him and Tyler Boyd are the playmakers on this team. And the Bengals are not completely out of the playoff race, so they still have a little bit something to play for there. So that's good news if you own Mixon. Now, Kerryon Johnson looks like he's going to miss another game for the Lions. That means you're going to see LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick. And this is a good spot for these two backs here. If they can get some good yardage on the ground, that's what Detroit wants to do. I don't think the deep plays are going to be there to Kenny Galladay. So a lot of checkdowns to Riddick, a lot of power running from Blount, assuming Johnson's out this week. And Johnson is able to recover here and play. He's a great, great play this week. Now, something of note for the Texans, nothing to be worried about if you're a Lamar Miller owner just yet, but Dante Foreman finally is practicing there. And he could be a factor here soon if Miller were to get hurt. Alfred Blue has just been average here. They really like Foreman's upside. So maybe Foreman's a guy down the stretch that could be valuable should Miller get hurt. So you have to always keep track of these handcuff situations behind these workhorses. And it's fluid there now with Foreman in the mix behind Alfred Blue. Now, look at the Chargers. Melvin Gordon's probably going to miss the game with the knee injury again. I mean, they're holding out hope that he'll play, but I don't see any reason to play him with the Chiefs up next and Chargers 14-point favorites in this game. So that should also be a factor in this one. They want to rest him coming up for a game, and it's a Thursday night game there as well. So that's another factor. Why rush him back here? You want him fully healthy for the next game if he has the potential to do that here. So I think you'll see Eckler with the ankle, but he's got a little bit banged up here. He's not built to touch the ball a lot. We saw that in the first half. They tried to treat him as like a early down workhorse. It didn't work in Pittsburgh. He was more effective when he came in the game after Justin Jackson was doing some damage in the second half. But so Eckler's just still that satellite back. There's a reason he's a satellite back. He's not built to carry the load there. Malcolm Brown, it's an injury that's developing here. Behind Todd Gurley. So if you're looking for some insurance to Todd Gurley, given things that have happened with other backs here of late, including James Conner and Kareem Hunt, then I don't know where you go exactly here because you have Justin Davis. I really like the rookie John Kelly from Tennessee. He's been inactive for a lot of game days, but I think he looked awesome in the preseason, and I'd rather own him right now with Malcolm Brown down than Justin Davis. Now, you look at the Miami situation. Kenyon Drake is limited, but he'll be good to go against New England. I still think he could be the guy that they take out. Now, we'll have to see about this one. Isaiah Crowell against the Bills. He got a toe injury. This is different from ankle and foot and other things that have limited him. We'll have to watch this one carefully because toe can be tricky in not playing. Crowell's been getting good volume of late. He did score and have a good game against the Bills the first time. So we'll watch this game closely to see if there's any developments there that say that he's going to miss the game or if there's more indication of that and then you want to pivot away. But if he's going to play, he's going to be mainly the workload carrier for the Jets as they try to win a game here, and it is a winnable game this week if they play well. Now, Doug Martin has got a knee injury that's popped up, but he's practicing in full and will play against the Steelers. Josh Adams of the Eagles has a shoulder injury, so we'll monitor that. He should play, but we know it's a full-blown committee and a tough matchup with Corey Clement and Darren Sproles in there playing the Cowboys this week. James Conner, you look at, he's going to miss multiple weeks here with the ankle. We'll see how this plays out between Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley. We'll talk a little bit more about Samuels and DFS here with Tyler coming up. But overall, it's looking like multiple weeks for Conner, and we'll see how this plays out mainly to see if we get any clarity on how they replace him this week against the Raiders with the Patriots coming up next week. Matt Breida has already been ruled out for the 49ers. You're going to get Jeff Wilson Jr. starting there. I don't love the matchup for Wilson. The Broncos have kind of cleaned things up a little bit against the run, but the volume alone and the receiving work says you got to go with Wilson, even if Alfred Morris is active and gets some touches there. And Adrian Peterson, again, the shoulder, has been keeping him out of practice early but not out of games. He's a guy that you're playing pretty much because he can get the job done even with limited volume if he can get a touchdown or a long run like he got both in one play last week. So there you have the quarterback and quarterback and running back injuries. We'll talk about wide receiver, tight end, and other injuries in a moment after we bring on Tyler. But first, I got to tell you that this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Action Heat. If you're not familiar with Action Heat, you should be, because Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. It's heat on demand at a touch of a button. It's clothing engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to heated car seats. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees Fahrenheit and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. And those batteries can also be used to charge your cell phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. And it's a great line of clothing there for you at Action Heat, either for men or women. And there's heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. And it's perfect for someone on your holiday list that loves being outdoors, doesn't like being cold, or works outdoors and likes to go play outdoors with skiing and snowboarding and all those activities. So anybody who spends a lot of time in the cold, it's a perfect gift for them and unique gift as well. So, and you can, again, jackets, shirts, anything you're looking for there, they've got it for you at Action Heat. And why not make your winter activities a little bit more enjoyable with a blast of warmth to keep you toasty, warm, and cozy all through the tough winter weather. And the best thing for you as a listener to Locked On Fantasy Football is that Action Heat is offering a special deal for you. You can go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out the entire line of clothing there, and you can save 20% off your first order by doing so. You can also use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save that 20%. Again, that's actionheat.com/lockedon or the coupon code LOCKEDON there at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them again for sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here with Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus.
Joining me now, as he always does on Thursdays for Lineup Focus to help us with some DFS value advice, is Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus. How's it going, Tyler?
Hey, Vinny, I am doing well. How about you? Hard to believe it's already December.
Yeah, I'm in the playoffs in all my season-long leagues, so that's good. And
that's very good.
So that's something to look forward to. And then I tend to play DFS a little bit more near the end of the season as well, now that I have all the data points and I understand the pricing a little bit more and I'm more comfortable with it. So we're going to help some people win some more money, hopefully, as well as trying to win their championships there. And we got to start at quarterback because it's an interesting week. And a lot of the focus to me goes on that Green Bay-Atlanta game. And for good reason. We've seen Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers have some big duels in the past and put up some numbers. I see Matt Ryan, interesting pricing there, 8,200 on FanDuel, 5,600 on DraftKings. Where do you kind of go with Rodgers versus Ryan? I know a lot of people are probably going to go on the Rodgers side, but Ryan is probably going to have to throw a little bit more in this game.
I actually like both of them. I know they're relatively close in price, but I think they're both in play for me. Even in cash games, I would say. The Packers-Falcons game is one that I'm very interested in. It sounds like you are too. It has an over-under of 49.5. It might have moved by now, but somewhere right around 50, just below 50. And I actually think it has a pretty good chance of going over there. And when I think that personally, when I think that a game is going to be higher scoring than the general public, it's a game that I like to target. I think that's a good strategy. I think that's a good way to find a little bit of an edge. I'm not saying people aren't going to be playing Packers and Falcons players, but I might be playing them a little bit more than others. Rodgers, he's now freed from his shackles of Mike McCarthy. And he now has a great matchup against the Falcons, who've given up the second most fantasy points per dropback to quarterbacks. And then meanwhile, Matt Ryan is the cheapest he's been all season, at least on DraftKings. And I know he's not in the domed setting, but the Packers are a bottom 12 pass defense. And like I said, I think this game has clear shootout potential, and I like it to go over its total.
Now, if you're going away, quarterback away from that game, I think you can look at Baker Mayfield as well. I know it was disappointing last week if you played him, had those interceptions there, but he still almost went to 400 yards. Probably should have had multiple touchdowns there if it wasn't some mistakes for his receivers there. But 7,500, 5,800, there are his prices. Now there's a change in Carolina with Ron Rivera calling the plays, and all of a sudden the Bucs didn't have easy things in the passing game late in that game. But how much do you trust Mayfield this week? And do you look at him or Josh Allen this week, who's red hot, 7,400 on FanDuel, 5,500 on DraftKings, both rookie quarterbacks at home in good situations?
Last week I wrote up Mayfield as a bust. So I was expecting him to play poorly. And even though he threw three kind of bad interceptions, he actually like far exceeded my expectations still. So I think even I might be underestimating Mayfield still some. I mean, he dropped almost 400 yards, like you said. And even though Carolina tightened up kind of towards the end of the game there, that to me, that's a really small sample size. And generally speaking, the Panthers have been pretty generous to quarterbacks this year. So I do like Mayfield, especially at home. I think the Panthers on the season as a whole have given up the second or third most touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks this year. So I would expect Mayfield to get back into the double-digit touchdown column, which he was riding a five-game streak with at least two touchdowns prior to last week. So I like Mayfield there again. And then Josh Allen, I'm not going to pull the trigger in cash. He's just his yardage potential is just so low. His floor is so low, but his rushing yardage potential is now great. Obviously, he's averaging over 100 rushing yards in each of his last two games. We love fantasy quarterbacks who run, and Josh Allen clearly runs. He's averaging over 10 attempts per game over the last two games, and given the success he's had doing it, it wouldn't surprise me if he continues to do so. But like I said, I'm not playing him in cash, but I probably will be sprinkling him in a few GPP lineups. And It's almost like the Josh Allen Buffalo Bills defense is the stack rather than LeSean McCoy Buffalo Bills. But I guess we can get to defense in a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely something to look at. And Allen is kind of hurting LeSean McCoy because he's doing all the running for that team. So it's kind of bizarre. We'll get to McCoy here in a second. You said Aaron Rodgers is free from Mike McCarthy. I think another guy who's going to be happy about this is Aaron Jones, because last week was the weird Aaron Jones regression in terms of usage. 7,500 on FanDuel, 74 on DraftKings. This Falcons run defense, we know it's had its issues, and now Grady Jarrett has popped back up on the injury report here, so he could be missing this game as well. I mean, is Jones a guy? And it seems like to me, I can't get away from Aaron Jones, 7,500, 7,400, and then Philip Lindsay again, great matchup in San Francisco, 7,900, 6,300. Am I crazy to think I want these two guys as my core again this week?
No, I don't think that's crazy at all. Philip Lindsay is kind of turning into a bell cow. He had 20 touches last week. I believe that was his first, that was his second game of the season with over 20 touches, but it was his highest rushing attempt total. He had 19 rushing attempts, and he's just so good. I don't know how this guy went undrafted. He's so good. Love Philip Lindsay this week against the 49ers. I know he's creeping up in price, but the dude deserves it. He's getting the goal line carries. He's got a little bit of a vulture in Royce Freeman, but like I said, Philip Lindsay is he's got 20 plus potential now with the explosive ability. So I really like him. And then yeah, Aaron Jones. I don't know what the heck, Mike McCarthy. This was an overdue change. I'm sure, you know, he's a great person and everything like that. But from a fantasy perspective, this is only positive for every Packers offensive player, including Aaron Jones. I know Jones started last week. I think he had like three receptions in the first drive or two. It was looking great. And then all of a sudden in comes Jamal Williams. Assuming that Jones is used like he should be, it's a great matchup against the Falcons. They've given up the third most fantasy points to opposing running backs and by far and away the most receptions to opposing running backs, 94 receptions so far this year. Next closest team, they've given up more than 10 receptions to running backs than any other team. They've given up 8 more receptions to opposing running backs than any other team. So it's a great matchup for Jones at home, like I said, in a potentially really high scoring game. I guess we're not, maybe he'll still split duties, but it would shock me if Jones isn't the featured back.
Yeah. Usually with these changes, we've seen an overcorrection. We saw that in Arizona with David Johnson.
Very true.
Getting the proper usage there. So I expect the Jones usage to be fine. Now there's a usage question, and you brought up a couple guys that looked at on the watch list, and I had Austin Eckler listed at 6,700, 6,200. He's going to split time, we know, with Justin Jackson and Melvin Gordon likely missing another week. Then you also offered Sonny Michel, who we know is seeing some split now with James White and Rex Burkhead. And then Jalen Samuels, who we liked a lot as that replacement. Then here come the reports of Stephen Ridley is going to get work. They're going to split carries down the middle. Now, when you look at Michel, Samuels, and Eckler, who do you kind of trust to get enough volume in a good matchup to justify your price this week?
I am going to trust Michelle based on the volume aspect. I know that James White is there. He's obviously going to get his touches mostly through the air. And Rex Burkhead's back also is going to see some work through the air and potentially a few carries as well. Michelle has become reliant. He's seeing a lot of volume. Recently, he's been reliant on red zone usage, so touchdown potential, but he's still, since returning from injury in week 12, he's still averaging over 20 touches per game. And against the Dolphins defense that have given up the fourth most rushing yards to running backs this season, I like Michelle's matchup. I think this is a matchup-driven play for me. I would really like Michelle if this game was at home. That's the only thing that I don't completely – that's the only thing I don't love about Michelle's matchup. He's a player I'm still trying to figure out. Like you mentioned White, you mentioned Burkhead. That scares me a little bit. But Michelle, at least in tournaments, I think is a great play because he's got a great matchup. And then Austin Eckler, and Justin Jackson are interesting plays. Apparently Eckler, his head coach, said he's getting a little bit tired, so he's going to split more work with Justin Jackson. So that will probably move me off Eckler. Might make him a good tournament play, but I think he's overpriced considering the fact that his coach is saying he's tired and needs to come off the field. And then Jalen Samuels, I'm not touching Stephen Ridley, but I will be playing Jalen Samuels. I think he's going to see most or all of the receiving work, which is the more valuable work. We did see him collect a touchdown once James Conner went out last week. So, and Jalen Samuels is very, very cheap. I think he might be minimum priced on FanDuel. Maybe he's 4,600 and then he's only 3,700 on DraftKings. So he affords you the ability to do a lot with your lineup.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you also looked at Christian McCaffrey. I know he's a heavy price to pay. I think he's the highest priced on, I think he was 9,100 on FanDuel. So he's right after Patrick Mahomes in terms of value there. But he's a guy that if you pay up, it seems like early in the season, that was the case with Todd Gurley. If you paid up, you were going to still get close to 3X return. And CMC, that's what you're getting of late from him. And this Browns matchup, it seems like it's made to keep rolling given the streak he's been on in the last two games here.
9,100 for McCaffrey might be a little bit expensive for me on FanDuel. He's 9,300 on DraftKings, which I do like. He gets that full point per reception plus the bonus potential. And yeah, you mentioned it's a great matchup against the Browns. They've given up the fourth most rushing touchdowns. They've given up 12 rushing touchdowns in 12 games. They've given up the eighth most receiving yards to running backs. And McCaffrey's averaging over 32 DraftKings points per game over the last 6 weeks. So that's not exactly a short time span that he's been dominating. So even though he's expensive, he's, like you mentioned, he's now in that conversation of pay up for the elite high-end running backs, and you won't regret it.
Yeah, and it's strange that we would have him in the same category of Todd Gurley from the first half of the season, but that's where we are, and just a great talent, and the best thing about him is he's been durable all year, and that's incredible as well to have that kind of volume and not really have any hint of injury. So he's reliable there. We'll end running back here with a toss-up here of veteran older backs. You have Lamar Miller at home against the Colts, 6,500 and 5,100. LeSean McCoy there at home against the Jets, 5,700 and 5,000 are his prices. If you're going for a bargain or a flex here at your running back spot, who do you like more this week?
I'm probably not going to play either of these guys in cash. I'll be honest there. If I'm going to play one of them in cash, it will be Lamar Miller because he's at home against a defense that also gives up a lot of receptions to receivers or to running backs, excuse me. The Colts have given up 88 receptions to opposing running backs, which is the second most in the NFL. Meanwhile, the Jets are a lot more favorable to running backs giving up rushing touchdowns. They've given up 11 rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs this year. And I know I mentioned Josh Allen as the biggest threat to LeSean McCoy's rushing yardage, but obviously, Allen's not going to run for 100 yards every single week. So McCoy might be a nice tournament play there.
Yeah, that's for sure. And he did have a big game against the Jets the first time around with the Matt Barkley at quarterback. So maybe Allen cuts into a little bit, but McCoy should still get his in. We expect the Bills to be in control of this game a little bit, which is rare, but that's the way it goes there. Now, we go to wide receiver, and Julio Jones, I think a lot of people are going to be on Julio, and they're going to think it's a bit contrarian, but really isn't, because I know he had a bad game last week, but everyone knows that he has destroyed Green Bay over and over again throughout his career. Is he a must guy for you at 8,400 on both sites, or are you maybe going for a little bit of pivot to save you money? Juju Smith-Schuster is what we're looking at 7,500 and 8,200.
Julio, by the way, he was an unexpected miss on Wednesday's practice. So if you're listening to this, depending on what day you're listening to this, you definitely have to check on Julio's status. He's a player that was in my lock list until I heard that news. If he returns to practice on Thursday, Friday, he'll go right back on my lock list. He could have just had a veteran's day off or something like that. But yeah, you've mentioned he's got a great history against the Packers. Julio Jones, prior to getting kind of dominated by the Ravens last week. He just had two receptions for 18 yards. He was on a roll. He had six straight games with over 100 receiving yards and a touchdown. He was ripping off touchdowns for a while there too. So Jones is a guy I like. Again, this Falcons-Packers game is one that I'm going to have a lot of exposure to, and Jones is definitely part of that.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I mentioned Juju a little bit. I think people will be a little bit more Antonio Brown down on Juju, but I look at the matchups here in the Raiders game. I think it's his turn to kind of have the big game. It's kind of interesting because they kind of interchangeably have their big games while the other guy's quiet, and I would expect Antonio Brown could see a lot of extra coverage here, and they'll be fine with that if they can let Juju beat them.
I do like Juju. According to the Pro Football Focus individual wide receiver cornerback matchup chart, Juju has the second best individual matchup of the week. And I know a lot of people are focused on Jalen Samuels and some people on Stephen Ridley, which is definitely viable. I actually think that James Conner's absence will give a few additional targets to Juju and Antonio. So I do like Juju. He's actually on my list of cash game players this week.
Yeah, for sure. And then one other injury news, and it's why you have to pay attention. Speaking of wide receiver cornerback matchups, looks like Xavien Howard is going to miss the game for Miami. And that's going to be good news for Josh Gordon because they might have stayed away from that matchup a little bit had Howard been in there. But I think now with I think Bobby McCain is their best remaining corner. I think they're going to go after Gordon, especially how he gave them a spark last week when they needed it against the Vikings.
I think that's a very sharp play. And a lot of, you know, people who are paying attention here, again, you got to check on Howard's status. But if he is out, that is a fact that DFS players will be paying attention to, but the casual fan is not paying attention to which cornerbacks are out. You know, they like the offensive player names. So if you know that Xavien Howard's out, you know that Xavien Howard is a very successful player. The Patriots know that Xavien Howard is a good player. He picked off Brady a few times last season on a primetime game. Then I do think it kind of unleashes Gordon, who his target totals have been down the last 2 weeks. He had five targets in week 12 against the Jets, three targets in week 13 last week. But prior to that, he had double digit targets in back-to-back games. If he is not covered by Howard and kind of going up against a weaker core of cornerbacks, then I definitely think, you know, we know that Brady and the Pats offense picks on the best matchup. And without Howard in there, Gordon will probably be the best matchup on every single play.
Yeah, especially when you think about if we like Michelle, the running game is going to work. There's going to be some shots there off play action that are really going to help Gordon as well succeed. Now, another guy I kind of like this week is Larry Fitzgerald at 6,200 and 4,900. The Cardinals having a little momentum with that big upset win against the Packers. Could win this game at home against the Lions. We know that he probably avoided Darius Slay in this matchup as well because of his ability to work the slot here consistently. So I kind of like Larry Fitzgerald to come through. He's usually pretty good at home in these situations.
I have not. I played Fitz a few times at the beginning of the year, and then I just kind of came off him, and I haven't played him again. But it definitely a sharp move calling out his home road splits. He's got four touchdowns at home this year, just one on the road. He's scoring almost twice as many fantasy points per game at home. So if you're going to play Fitz, play him at home. And like you mentioned, yeah, he will avoid Darius Slay. So not a bad matchup.
I'll give you a toss-up here as we move away from wide receivers. Interesting things developing with these two teams, and two players, and they're actually in the same game. Cortland Sutton, Emmanuel Sanders went down for the season in practice with the Achilles, so he's the number one against a San Francisco secondary that has some play from Richard Sherman, but otherwise beatable, 5,600 and 4,500. And then the same game on the other side, Marquise Goodwin looks like he's going to return this week. But Dante Pettis has looked fantastic here. Pierre Garçon might have to miss another game. 5,500, 4,400, and now another injury that the Broncos suffered was Chris Harris Jr. So Pettis versus Sutton, this one's interesting. I feel like I'm leaning a little towards Pettis only because Sutton might get the tougher coverage now, and the 49ers are going to have to throw a little bit more in this game.
Both players are definitely in play for me. I actually am not opposed to playing both of them. And then you can kind of really load up on some running backs that we mentioned. You know, you can get Christian McCaffrey in there. You can get Julio Jones in there. You can get maybe get another good running back in there. So both these guys are viable. And honestly, they cost less than 9,000 if you get them both in on DraftKings, and they're cheap on FanDuel as well. 5,600 for Sutton, 5,500 for Pettis. So under 11,000 combined there on FanDuel, or right around 11,000, I guess. It's really, really tough for me to choose between these guys. I think if Marquise Goodwin comes back, it makes me like Sutton a little bit more. If Marquise Goodwin doesn't play, I might like Pettis a little bit more. I mean, is it a cop out to just say I like both these guys and it's a sharp move to play them both and take the salary? I will say, if you're looking for, if you're looking to differentiate your lineup, then Sutton and Pettis are not the way to go. They're going to be chalky. They're cheap. They're in great situations. They've been playing well. They've got good matchups. They check all the boxes, which means other people are going to be on them too. But if you're okay eating some chalk there, that's a great way to save some salary.
Yeah, that's for sure. You can definitely look at multiple guys like that in your lineups. And it's not a bad way to go. As you mentioned, going for those stud smash running backs like McCaffrey, and then going for the best value wide receivers, that way you get some upside, but you also get the running backs that are going to touch the ball most and therefore can produce the most this week. Now, looking at tight end, it's not the greatest week for tight end, let's be honest, but it's got three guys that I'm looking at around the same range on both sites here. George Kittle, 6,600 on FanDuel. Jordan Reed, 6,400. Jared Cook, 6,300. Now, if you go the other way on DraftKings, it's Reed who's more expensive than Kittle, 5,600, 5,500, 5,200 for Cook here. So who do you kind of like most in this group? Because, and is this where you're targeting your tight end value this week?
It kind of blows my mind that Jordan Reed would be more expensive than Kittle. That doesn't make any sense. Out of this group, I'm definitely playing Kittle. He has continued to be a target monster recently. He's got at least 8 targets in 5 of his last 6 games. Nick Mullins clearly really likes him. Kittle has the huge play upside. I think he's got 2 touchdowns of over 70 yards this year. He's a freak athlete. He's the centerpiece of the offense. And the Broncos are a bottom half team against tight ends from a fantasy perspective. So yeah, if this is a toss up between these players, I'm playing George Kittle, and honestly, I'm not even really thinking about it. Jared Cook is not a bad play. He is at times the centerpiece of Oakland's offense. He's at times not the centerpiece, but he has seen good target volume. He's got at least 5 targets in each of his last 4 games. And I know he started off the season with some double digit target games. I don't think he's going to return there again, but he also has a touchdown in 3 straight games, and he topped 100 yards last week. So Cook's in play, and George Kittle is my favorite of the group. And then Jordan Reed, I know he's a big name from recent years, but he really hasn't done very much this year. He doesn't have over 80 receiving yards in any game this year, and now Mark Sanchez is his quarterback. So I'm not going to be playing Reed in any format.
Yeah, I think the only thing that could be a bright side for Reed is Landon Collins is not playing the rest of the season here with a shoulder injury. He's done a little bit against tight ends. They've used some other guys as well. And this team has been kind of up and down against the tight end. So maybe you might look there. Maybe Sanchez goes their security blanket. But the only thing with Jordan Reed and Jared Cook, we know their teams, their quarterbacks, their offense is extremely hard to trust. Well, Kittle, at least is in the offense, you know, is going to be a little bit more trustworthy. So that is a good point there. And now we look at defense. We'll close with that. I'll give you 3 options at different tiers here. The most expensive one is the Chargers at home against the Bengals, 4,600 and 3,500. In the middle tier, we have the Bills, 4,200 and 3,200. And in the lower tier, I think it's a little bit of a contrarian, but not that crazy of a play, given the Bucs can turn over the ball, and the Saints had 7 sacks last week, 3,800 and 2,700 for the Saints there. Where do you kind of go? I know you tend to lean towards cheap as possible on defense to get away with it.
Yeah, I do try to go as cheap as possible. I really want to play the Chargers. They've been great. and they now are playing a Bengals team that has lost basically all of its offensive players. Obviously unfortunate for the Bengals, but a great opportunity for the Chargers defense, especially if you're thinking of playing someone like Justin Jackson or Austin Eckler. Nice stack there. But out of the Chargers, the Bills, and the Saints that you mentioned, I'll take the Bills. They're at home against the Jets. Sam Darnold might return, who still leads the league in interceptions thrown despite missing a whole bunch of games. The Buffalo Bills have forced at least one turnover in all but one game this year. And in fact, they have multiple turnovers in all but two games this year. I really like the Bills defense at home. They also have multiple sacks in three straight games. They hold the opposing defenses low. They've got opposing quarterbacks don't throw for very many yards against them. So it's all lining up for a good game for the Bills defense. So out of that trio, I'll play the Bills there. Although I don't dislike the Saints, that contrarian play. They're kind of expensive, at least on DraftKings. So I really don't think a lot of people are going to be playing them. But they have held opposing teams to 17 or fewer points in four straight games.
Yeah,
and they've been forcing turnovers. They've been getting sacks, and now they play Jameis Winston, who could throw four interceptions in the first half.
Yeah, that's for sure. I like the Bills a lot this week. I think they could be the top defense on the board overall, whatever format you're playing in, just because of the Jets mess with Darnold just returning back to action, and the Bills at home being a big factor here, and they could come through in year-long and in DFS this week. Tyler, thanks again. Tell everyone, the listeners, what they can look for you or look out for from you at Pro Football Focus to close the week here. It's late in the season. We're going to mess up a little bit here.
Yeah, it's December. We're nearing the end. You can find my DraftKings cash guide. That drops on Thursday. I've got my FanDuel GPP guide that comes on Friday, and then my DFS locks of the week drops on Saturday. That one is free. Anybody can read it. You do not need a PFF subscription for that one. So definitely check it out. Got some other content as well for some season long players, sleepers and busts. So be sure to check out what we've got. If you need a little bit more insight for DFS this week.
Yeah, definitely do that. And, Tyler, always, good to have you on. Good luck in your games this week, your lineups, your year-long, wherever you're playing. Enjoy, and hopefully Adam Vinatieri can bring you a win. I saw that.
I love that. I've got the same starting kicker as I had in 2001, still in my lineup in 2018.
Yeah, it's crazy that he's still around and doing that. And only if DFS was around in 2001, how things would be different. But thanks again, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Vinny. Good luck, everybody.
Thanks so much again to Tyler, and you can follow him there on social media, Pro Football Focus, and as well as Tyler Lochner there. Check him out. He's a great, great follow with a lot of insight and a lot of humor about fantasy football as well there. So check him out. He's a really a good follow and just one of the smarter young writers in this business. Lochner NFL is his handle there if you're looking for him on Twitter. You can also follow me on Twitter at Vinny Ira and Facebook Vinny Ira, and make sure that you're checking out all the great podcasts on the Locked On Network via social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Locked On Network covers you covered, whether it's NFL, NBA, MLB, or fantasy. We're all over the place there. And check us out and be locked in to the Locked On Network with whatever is going on. We'll be right back here to break down the wide receiver, tight end, and other notable injuries of the week. Now we look at the wide receivers here and tight ends to help us close this week and put a bow on it. We have a situation in Atlanta that we're targeting and looking at is Julio Jones, the foot. Early, there was no concern with Dan Quinn. We talked about that with Tyler, that we do have to monitor it because it's a foot, something different there popping up. But he usually manages his reps closely, whether it's a knee or foot or ankle with Julio Jones, and he usually suits up and plays there, so we expect that to happen. But We have to watch if there's any setbacks later in the week. Calvin Ridley also banged up in the hand and elbow, but he's been being able to play through it, and he'll do that again against Green Bay. Torrey Smith, limited there. We know that Greg Olsen's down for the season. Torrey Smith's still fading beyond the young receivers there, and DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel in Carolina. Now, A.J. Green is out for sure with a toe injury. He's not playing, so more of Tyler Boyd getting the targets here. We don't know who else to trust after that. Some people have gone to John Ross, but Cody Kaur was the guy who caught the touchdown last week. So not trusting anyone other than Tyler Boyd if you need him, Joe Mixon in the passing game, and C.J. Uzomah at tight end. Now, Cole Beasley will have to watch. So the initial reports was that he was going to have to miss time with his foot injury that he suffered against the Saints. Limited in practice early. So they're a little bit hopeful that he can play now against the Eagles. And I wouldn't expect anything big out of him. The Eagles are vulnerable there on the outside. So Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. But if he's not able to play, I would say Allen Hurns is going to be the guy that replaces Beasley a lot in the slot this week. Tavon Austin, still not practicing with the groin. He's going to miss another game here. Now, the big one, Emmanuel Sanders going down there in the practice late on Wednesday with a torn Achilles. He's done. So if you're looking for the next man up there, it's hard to trust Deshaun Hamilton, a rookie at Penn State. This boosts, obviously, the value of Cortland Sutton, the rookie there of SMU, as he's the number one guy for sure for the Broncos, and will be targeted a lot by Case Keenum. It could create some tougher matchups. This week, Richard Sherman could be a little tricky. It's definitely going to be the coverage that he draws for most of the game, but Sutton, again, with volume and the talent are reasons to play him this week. Now, Kenny Golladay, I don't love his matchup against Patrick Peterson. He was limited with a quad injury. He should go there against the Cardinals, but beware of that matchup if you've got guys, a better matchup. Bruce Ellington actually has a better matchup. I know Tyler talked about Juju Smith-Schuster and having the second-best matchup, according to PFF World's Bruce Ellington. The only problem with him is he can catch six or seven balls and only give you 45 yards. So I'm not going crazy about Bruce Ellington this week there in Arizona, especially against a good pass defense in general. Randall Cobb, hamstring limited. He's probably going to play there against the Falcons. In terms of production, that's a whole different story, but he is going to be in the lineup there. Now, you look at DeAndre Hopkins, the same thing with the foot. It's been limited all the time here, but he's good to go for this Indianapolis game. Dontrell in on the other side has a shoulder injury. We have Kiki Kuti, the hamstring there for the Texans that we'll have to see how he responds, but they could keep him out for another game. Dontrell Inman is definitely a concern on the other side with the shoulder, missing practice immediately there. Chester Rogers was limited early, so banged-up receiving core continues, including T.Y. Hilton, who didn't practice, but they're being careful with him because of the other injuries there. He should be fine to play there with a shoulder injury against the Texans this week. D.J. Chark is going to miss another game there on Thursday night. You have Sammy Watkins, got a limited practice in, so we'll see if he can play against Baltimore. Still not recommending him. Tough matchup there. Just squashes the Chris Conley value if Watkins were able to return and play this week. Danny Amendola missed last week against the Bills for the Dolphins, but should return limited there with a knee injury early in the week for the Patriots matchup. You have Devontae Parker going full, coming off a good game. He'll play against the Patriots, but also see a lot of Stephon Gilmore in the game. Michael Thomas is one we're definitely watching here. Didn't practice early in the week. Should be okay, kind of like the Julio Jones situation, but we'll watch. We'll watch this carefully. If he misses the game, obviously a bump up for guys like Traquan Smith and Keith Kirkwood there against the Buccaneers secondary this week. Sterling Shepard limited with a ribs injury. We'll see if he can go. I expect him to play there against Washington, seeing targets in key spots is another situation. Robbie Anderson ankle and Quincy Enunwa ankle, full practice for Anderson. Enunwa got in a limited practice there. I really don't want to trust anything of the Jets' passing game with Sam Darnold back in there, however. Now, another passing game you can't trust is the Raiders. Jordy Nelson had a big game last week. He has a foot injury, different from the knee injury. He's practicing in full. I just don't like the matchup against Joe Hayden and the Steelers this week. Ryan Switzer, speaking of the Steelers, a concussion, there was some concern about him, but it looks like he's on track, practicing in full, and should be cleared for this game. Pierre Garçon, we'll see if he can play this week. A knee injury has limited him again. He's been limited before and been scratched, so we'll see. With Dante Pettis playing well, Marquise Goodwin probably on his way back this week. I think there's no reason to rush Garçon back. He's an older receiver. This team's going nowhere. And they might want to see a little bit more of Pettis here with the way he's played here in the past few weeks. Now, looking at DeSean Jackson, another veteran with a thumb injury, they're probably going to think about shutting him down here. That's the report out of Tampa Bay. This is good news for Chris Godwin, who's locked in as that number two outside receiver for this team and for Adam Humphries, really, because the targets have really gone to them and they've really produced here. They just needed Jackson out of the way, and that's happened here. Jamison Crowder is now a factor. He did play last week against the Eagles. Ankle injuries, he's going full. He was back in the mix here. We'll see if it's a lot of dump-off passes there against the Giants from Mark Sanchez to Crowder and Jordan Reed. Look at David Njoku, still limited with that knee injury. He's going to play. It's hard to trust him. Set DeValve practicing in full with a calf, especially with DeValve and Darren Fells involved. And the team not locked into throwing the tight end, even though the matchup is great against the Panthers this week at home. Now, Jeff Swaim, the Cowboys tight end, wrist still going to miss another game against the Eagles. Michael Roberts could return here with the shoulder injury there to be a help to this Lions passing game, who needs someone to step up. This Arizona team, a little bit vulnerable against tight ends, but Roberts, I'm not trusting him at all. Jason Kroom didn't practice. He could miss the game against the Jets. Not interested in Charles Clay or Logan Thomason in the event of that. Jimmy Graham didn't practice, but that's his MO early in the week with a knee and thumb injury. He'll play again, whether he's productive or not, a la Randall Cobb's waits to be seen. Even though I would say the matchup is better for Cobb in the slot here than what Graham can give you there with some of the coverage at tight end the Falcons offer. Eric Ebron, back illness, didn't practice. More so the illness, the back, they manage his reps. He played through that last week. I expect him to be the heavily targeted guy again against the Texans. And Mo Alie-Cox didn't practice and could miss a game. We already know Jack Doyle with a kidney injury is out. Mo Alie-Cox dealing with a calf injury there. Rob Gronkowski limited, but he will play against Miami with the ankle and back injuries. We'll see if he can be a little bit more productive this week. And Evan Engram, last guy of note we'll talk about, is he had the hamstring pop up in practice a couple weeks ago, causing him to miss last week. He was limited. We'll see if he can go. I don't know if they're going to force him into action when Rhett Ellison, Scott Simonson can provide the same kind of production there against the Redskins. Now, kicker, Graham Gano is the only kicker that popped up in the injury report. He's good to go. I don't know if you'll trust him in Cleveland. It's a tough weather environment, and Gano's not always reliable to make kicks, so I would avoid him in general, but left knee is going to play through that. Now, other notable injuries that we look at here is Cordy Glenn, the left tackle for the Bengals, could miss another game. That's not good for this offense, as well as not having Andy Dalton or A.J. Green in there. We'll have to see about Jason Peters. That could be tough there against that Cowboys defensive line this week if he can't go. Good impact Carson Wentz for sure this week. I mentioned there with Tyler, Grady Jarrett has a shoulder injury. That could keep him out, and that's going to make Aaron Jones play even more appealing this week. Marcus Hunt, keep an eye on this guy. He's been key for the Colts, really revving up the pass rush. If he's not in there, it really helps the running game and Deshaun Watson for the Texans this week. So that's notable. When you go to linebacker, Montez Burfict has a concussion. He could miss this game against the Chargers. That will help the running game as well with Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson be a little bit more productive there. In the secondary, a couple to talk about there is we have one guy, Tony Jefferson. he's the safety for the Ravens, has an ankle injury, could miss another game. This could be very good news for Travis Kelce to stay hot. The Ravens are vulnerable against the tight end. They really don't have a chance with Jefferson not in there covering. So great, great spot, DFS, if you want to pay up for Kelce this week. Denzel Ward has a concussion, so we'll see if he's cleared. That's going to definitely help DJ Moore if he can't be out there, because that is definitely a tough rookie-on-rookie coverage for Moore if Ward is out there with him. And I would pivot more to Curtis Samuel if Ward does play. But if Ward doesn't play, I really like DJ Moore on the front line here. Chris Harris Jr. out here, and that really helps Pettis, who's run some slot routes here in the first two games. And especially if Goodman comes back, you'll get more of the attention of Bradley Roby there. So that'll open things up in the middle against another rookie, Isaac Iadum, for what Pettis can do this week, assuming Garcon doesn't play there. Now, Bashaud Breeland is the slot corner for the Packers. He's been limited. That could be good news for Mohamed Sanu, who kind of like is a sneaky play this week in the Falcons pass game, more so than even Ridley this week, because Ridley might get more of Jair Alexander there for the Packers. So keep that one in mind. Another injury that I talked about before was Xavien Howard. This is the shutdown corner for the Dolphins, and he had a big game, like we mentioned, against the Patriots last year in Miami. He's not in there. This is great news for Josh Gordon. They're going to take their shots and feel comfortable that they can exploit the secondary downfield if he's not in there. So, again, Gordon, love him this week. If Howard doesn't play, just makes it great. He's considered week to week, and that tells me he's at least missing 1 week. So you're safe there. Landon Collins pushed on IR with that shoulder injury there. Now, Jaquiski Tartt, he didn't practice, couldn't miss this Broncos game. If you were disappointed in Matt LaCoste, especially with Emmanuel Sanders gone, they might need to target LaCoste for sure this week at tight end. So could line up well for LaCoste to see some extra targets to play off Cortland Sutton. And one other one we'll keep track of is Josh Norman and hamstring there, and Fabian Moreau knee, limited ahead of the Giants. So when you look at that, these are the primary guys that could see Odell Beckham Jr. outside and Sterling Shepard when he lines up in the slot. So if these guys are banged up, makes you bump up Shepard a little bit more, but makes you really like Odell Beckham Jr. a lot more as well. So there you have it. There's a comprehensive look at all the notable injuries there across positions, the skill positions and beyond there, as well as the DFS advice that we got in between. Great stuff there from Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus. So thanks so much for listening this week and all season and staying with us and getting you the best prep you need for the year-long fantasy football, and as well as the DFS role that continues here through week 17. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck in your games this week.